During the next 2 weeks, we can expect to hear more and more about the approaching holiday of Christmas. And we will observe increasingly frantic preparation for the day. It seems that no other time of the year gets such attention. And yet, this attention is a trifle strange when we remember that Christmas is really far, far from the greatest feast in the church year. In its significance, Easter is certainly more important, and so is Pentecost. Our problem with Christmas is that it focuses upon an infant. Each Christmas has centered upon Jesus, the newborn infant. And that is the problem year after year. He is still an infant, and the only demands infants usually make upon us are for affection, warmth, and care. Easter and Pentecost are different, simply because they demand ever so much more from us. They call for the cross, discipleship, commitment, and courage. 30 years after Bethlehem, baby Jesus had grown up to challenge us. And so we ask, is it any wonder why the stable at Christmas is preferable to us? Preferable to the cross of Calvary, to the empty tomb of Easter, and to the fire of Pentecost? We must remember that it is simply not safe nor wholesome for us to go on living in the past. And it is this lovely season of Advent that invites us to grow up. It's a healing invitation to grow up with Jesus. We say that because too many people around us have become crippled as human beings by not growing up, by not moving on, by not learning to accept little by little the responsibilities and the relationships when the proper time arrives in their lives. And yet we see athletes, cheerleaders, politicians, beauty queens, all come to realize that their own personal prowess and charm will fade. And husbands and wives cannot forever go on acting as if they were on a honeymoon forever. And we Christian people cannot forever worship Jesus the infant. We are all in a constant process of growth, no matter how old or how young we are. Growth is a little bit painful, but it is always worth it. Growth in the long run is always a healing experience because it offers us new perspectives, new priorities, and new values. Now look at it this way. The birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. is not special to people in this country for anything that he did as an infant. And the same can be said of all the holidays that we observe that are the births of people like Washington or Lincoln. Now it's true that we recall on Christmas that Jesus visibly assumes our flesh. But for us to remain at the manger at Christmas is to be left behind at the manger. The full meaning of this feast, like the birthdays of Washington and Lincoln and King, resides in what Jesus did for us as an adult. We move from the manger onto the Passover mystery. The whole life is what we celebrate. The child in the manger became an adult, and he became much more concerned about the Beatitudes than with the precision of a religious ceremony. Jesus grew up and became a bearded, itinerant preacher with a great propensity for making outrageous statements which shocked the people of the synagogue and his religious leaders, and they also dismayed his family. The little babe grew into a man who preached about the glories of simplicity in life to a society that believed so much that the answer could be found only in wealth. And he scandalized prudes and patriots because of his affection for prostitutes and tax collectors. He came to maturity in a culture suffering under the oppressive Roman yoke, in a culture that really believed in holy wars, a culture that looked forward to a sword-swinging Messiah. And he boldly preached that God's kingdom belonged to the meek and that the land belonged to the poor. Jesus broke the Sabbath many times. He criticized religious leadership. And he taught that grace and forgiveness come not through a ritual, but rather through a change of heart. And he said he looked forward to the day when people prayed no longer in temples of any denomination, but simply worshiped the Father in spirit and in truth. He proclaimed that it was God's will that we pray for our enemies and that we do good to the people who actually hate us. And he wanted a world built on love, not on legal justice. And he blessed even the most fumbling attempts at creating community and peace in the land. Now, all of that is what really is contained in the manger. In short, we celebrate his birth at Christmas by celebrating his entire life. And if what he did scandalizes us, then why should we even rejoice at the very fact that he was ever born? The birth of any child brings wonder and hope. And so too, the birth of this child, Jesus. The promises of his birth are already fulfilled, because here we have a child who taught us how to live as daughters and sons of God, who fed other people and who himself has become our bread for all the people who hunger after God, who is now in our midst. He touched our sorrow and our laughter. He delighted in little children. And above all, he delighted in simple things, in the faith of a humble people. And that's why this child was a sign, helpless and gentle, yes, a sign to a world in crisis long ago and a sign to a world in crisis today. By saying this, I certainly do not in any way belittle the images of a babe, an infant, or a stable, or straw, or a shepherd. Because all of these images are able to teach us about simplicity in this complicated world of ours, and sincerity and integrity of heart. But we must remember that the person in the crib is not just a harmless infant. He is the Lord of justice and the Prince of Peace. We have only 2 weeks left to put aside the clutter that could block out the Christmas peace and joy that we could enjoy. We have still 2 weeks to consider what so many other people have been doing now for at least several years, finding alternate ways of celebrating this holy, beautiful season with refreshing simplicity. Perhaps it's time for us to wind down the Christmas machine and the stocking full of stress that it can bring. Materialism seems to be the root of the problem. The holiday season is supposed to be a midwinter respite from stress. The irony is that for so many people, the intense pressures of complying with all the holiday ritual creates even more stress. The fact is that we could, without much effort, convince ourselves that it's perfectly all right if everything is not done exactly in the same way as it had been done last year and in the past. And because of the stress of this season, in a survey done just a couple of months ago, it was found that the first three words that many people today associate with Christmas are dread, sadness, and overwhelmed. And by contrast, in former times, the first three words identified with the season were family, anticipation, and celebration. There's still time. There's still time to try to recover those beautiful words that identify the season that we approach. And if we did recover those words, we also could prepare to celebrate the total meaning of this lovely feast, to discover in that manger the cross of Calvary and the triumph of Easter and the fires of Pentecost.